Political leaders in Yemen still believe war is the only way to resolve their conflict, according to the outgoing UN Special Envoy for the country. Ismail Ould Sheikh Ahmed was in New York this week to deliver his final briefing to the Security Council after 3 years spearheading negotiation efforts. Since 2011, Yemen's been engulfed in what the UN's described as a tragic and complex political-military crisis, stemming from a failed leadership transition in the wake of the Arab Spring. Fighting escalated in 2015 with government forces backed by a Saudi-led coalition battling rebels known as the Houthis. Meanwhile, more than 22 million Yemenis rely on humanitarian aid to survive, and the situation has been worsened by the world's fastest-growing cholera epidemic, with more than 2,000 deaths since April last year. Rima Baza asked Mr. Ould Sheikh Ahmed what had been the biggest obstacle to peace.
Yemen is a very painful crisis because it's mainly a man-made crisis, particularly the humanitarian side. We see millions of Yemeni today trapped in one of the worst humanitarian crises worldwide, with over 22 million in need of humanitarian assistance, which represents 85% of the population. There is a risk of famine for almost 8 million Yemeni. We have the probably highest ever cholera crisis that the world has known. We have diphtheria. So all of these elements. And the reality for me, if I were to say it, is I think the political elite of Yemen is unable to make concession and to reach an agreement. The two sides are still believing on a military solution, and they need to be pushing each other to the extreme. And unfortunately, it's making only more suffering and more difficulties. The reason I'm saying that, because you said what is lacking. In my view, when we look really on these 3 years, and particularly the period where we spent in Kuwait, I personally believe the solution is there. At least the framework, the big ideas. Of course, the details can always be worked out. And the parties know that very well. We need a solution for the military element, the security element, and we need a political inclusive process. This is very well known to the parties. Why are they unable to reach it is really the question that also sometime has been very painful for me to respond to.
In your last briefing in front of the Security Council, you talked about political leaders who benefit from wars. How can the international community or the Security Council handle this?
Yes, you know, the problem is obviously these things are very difficult to prove. I mean, on an individual basis, like to say we are accusing this person or this. But, you know, the Yemeni know this. And I think most of the international community is aware. Even, you know, the countries who are, participating, like supporting this side or this side, know that unfortunately, and this is common in any conflict. Every time you have a conflict emerging somewhere, you have what is called the war economy, which often is taking advantage of the, particularly when the war becomes lengthy and it becomes very difficult to get, and you have an embargo on arms and guns, and then of course there is a big trafficking of these arms and guns through a mechanism which is often, a mechanism by which some parties are benefiting from it. But it is the reality that definitely the economy of the war is benefiting today too many leaders from all sides, and they do not want to see the war ending because they are making millions of dollars.
You served for 3 years as the special envoy for Yemen. What could have been or should have been done differently?
Of course, I mean, you know, I can't simply blame the parties. I have to say, you know, in a way, the UN, myself as a facilitator, I wasn't able to reach the final agreement. So therefore, I'm not trying to blame only the parties. I think we do have a responsibility as an international community.
But what kind of responsibility here?
Yeah, it's a very good question, because in fact, you know, also this is something you will find constantly in the media, and particularly in the electronic, the social media, where most of the young Yemenis are blaming the special envoy, you haven't done this. So at the end of the day, we are a facilitator. You can bring the horse to the water, but you can't make it drink. You have to make sure that the party understand the role of the mediator is to facilitate, to put in place the mechanism and the process. And I think we have done that. The international community facilitated that. I think the Kuwaiti, the government of Kuwait has gone out of their way. When we were in Kuwait, the Kuwaiti emir himself got involved, and they tried really to push for a solution. But not only Kuwait, you know, even the entire coalition, we have seen support during the talks of Saudi Arabia, Emirates, United States, US, the P5 in general, Russia and China and France. Everybody has been trying to really push the party. The Omani have had always an exceptionally positive role in terms of trying to particularly press on the Houthi to make concession. But honestly, sometimes, as I said, you fail to understand why this war that, as you know, the Secretary General himself qualified it as a stupid war. Because at the end of the day, it's very difficult sometimes to understand the reason why the parties are still refusing their element, and why we know there is no political, there is no military solution. There is only a political solution. Most of the issues, including, and I acknowledge personally, there are some security, regional security issues. Saudi Arabia is absolutely right to say that there are issues about their national security. No country in the world will accept to see missiles landing on their capital or on the airport like what we have seen in Riyadh. But even these issues of missiles or the issues of, some foreign countries intervening here, these all issues can be resolved if the people were to sit around the table and have a discussion around all these issues.
In your briefing in front of the Security Council also, you announced for the first time that in 2016 you were so close to reaching an agreement, but at the last minute it looked like the Houthis were not ready to reach an agreement. Why did you wait 2 years to announce this?
Okay, let me make it very clear, as I said yesterday in the press when I was doing the stakeout, to make it very clear. I think both parties have bear part of the responsibility. I can't say it's only the Houthi. But in Kuwait, definitely at the moment, after 105 days of consecutive days of discussion, and when I say day, it was days and nights, we had completely days without even sleeping because we could go on and on the same issue just to make sure we have addressed every single side of it. We have made consultation with all the countries in the region. And I have to say, honestly, because I was very impressed by the level of flexibility from Saudi Arabia, for instance, on the political solution. The Saudi government, which was very opposed at the beginning of the process to any discussion on the government, has been very, very flexible at the end to accept the ideas that we could even discuss issue around the presidency. We could discuss issue about the composition of the government. What we observed in Kuwait, the Houthi were not ready to discuss military concession. And you know, the 2016 was mainly about the issue about that no military group outside of the state can detain a military force, and a very strong one, with missiles, with the capacity to harm neighbors. This can't remain in any country out of the state. And what we have been proposing to the Houthi is, in compensation for them making concession on the military side, there will be an inclusive government where they will be represented. But clearly, they were very happy to see a new vice president, a new government, but they were not ready to discuss the military element. And this happened from day one. From the beginning, despite the intervention of the Emir of Kuwait, despite the intervention of many actors, we had support from many, many countries. Most of the Gulf countries had intervened at that moment. Even Qatar at that moment also had a very positive role in all of it. So all of this couldn't bring us to any resolution of the conflict. And this was really something which was very disappointing.
What's your main advice for your successor right now? And maybe this is the one thing that was missing from the last 3 years.
I think very clearly, of course, I know Martin Griffith for many years. I have seen him working in Syria, and with his exceptional experience, I don't think he really needs any advice from me. But of course, UN is an institution, and we have a memory, an institution, with memories. So I'm sure he will build on some of the elements that we have been discussing. But he will have his own approach and his own vision, and I do respect that. And I certainly will take the necessary distance and backseat to make sure that he has all the space necessary, and he will do that. What is very important is to realize today simply that we have very little time. The crisis, as I said, humanitarian, is going really very far. And more important than that, and I didn't have time to speak about it here, is the issue that we are seeing also all the crises emerging. We saw in the south recently in Aden clashes. We are seeing the terrorism. Yemen has always been a haven for terrorist groups. Now they are growing. So when we take all these elements together, it shows you the longer this conflict goes on, the more threat we have for the regional stability. So if there is any advice I can give to the Security Council or to the Special Envoy, we need to hurry up and to come out with a solution as soon as possible. The people of Yemen cannot wait.